That's Ephesians chapter 4. We're reading from verse 1 to 16. I'll pray before we read. Our Father, as we read this and that we hear from Tristan, we pray that you would help us to see and understand how we can spur one another along to live all for Jesus. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Well, tonight we're going to think about some of the key parts of what Dave just read out for us. So, look, the outline in your bulletin is going to be really helpful again tonight. There's a lot of things going on in that short part of Ephesians, but we're going to particularly focus in on just a few key verses. So it would be really great to have that outline, or of course your Bible open in front of you as we go. And look, as Ed mentioned, this is the third and final in our vision series. So I'm going to pray again before we get started. Let's pray. Father God, please help us to be reminded again tonight of the greatness of what you've done in Jesus. Please help us to be spurred on and energized to live for Jesus. And especially, Father, please motivate us to help each other to do that as a church family here at Night Church. Amen. So the Winter Olympics are on, and to be honest, I'm not a big fan of the Winter Olympics. I don't know what it is. It just doesn't make me excited at all. What I do find quite fascinating, though, is that there are people who devote their lives to these ridiculously weird and obscure sports. Sports that no one thinks about 3 out of every 4 years. The Winter Olympics is just, I don't know, the biathlon, I think, is my favourite. Anyone familiar with the biathlon? No one. The biathlon is a fantastic sport. It combines cross-country skiing and firearms. Hey, if you haven't seen the biathlon, you don't know what you're missing out on. Look, to win a medal, these athletes, there must be hundreds of them around the world, they devote their lives to these ridiculously obscure sports. They devote every part of their lives. They spend hours a day training every day of the year for years on end. They're eating an exact amount of food. They're sleeping an exact amount of time. They're warming up, working out, cooling down, recovering, resting, doing it all over again. Their lives revolve around these sports we've never heard of. Every single part of their life is affected by it. Every single part of their life is analysed to make sure that they're doing everything they can possibly do to win a gold medal in the biathlon. I mean, I reckon it sounds tiring. You don't even get famous from winning a medal at the Winter Olympics. And yet, look, as Christians, our whole lives revolve around Jesus. Jesus is far more significant than a medal. How much more should every part of our lives be lived for Jesus? I hope you leave tonight more convinced than ever that we need to live all of life for Jesus. That we need to keep helping each other live life for Jesus. I hope you leave here convinced that that is actually extraordinarily important in Jesus' agenda for us here at Night Church. Helping each other live for Jesus is very much front and center in Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Paul writes to remind them of the incredible things God has done and the incredible things God will do in Christ. Paul writes to show them just how far-reaching and wide-ranging and all-encompassing and life-changing are the implications of what God's done for them in Jesus. Because Paul wants to remind these followers of Jesus, they've been called to something incredibly special, something really amazing. And his agenda for them is that they live lives that are worthy of that calling. His agenda is that they live lives worthy of Jesus. And that's exactly how Paul starts this section of chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 1. Now again, we're going to be looking at just a couple of verses tonight, and that's not what we normally do. But get along to your small group this week and you'll have plenty of time to work through this whole section of Ephesians in a bit more detail. But for now, take a look at verse 1. Because here's Paul's agenda for the Ephesian church, and surprise, surprise, he wants them to live all for Jesus. Verse 1. Paul says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received." Now, we're jumping in right in the middle of Ephesians. We're jumping in at a really pivotal point in Ephesians. It's a significant moment because in the first three chapters of this book, Paul has described in vivid detail God's agenda for the world through Jesus. The stuff that happens in the first three chapters is in many ways very similar to what we saw in the first chapter of Colossians that we read a couple of weeks ago. Paul talks about the unfolding gospel story that all Christians have been called into. He talks about in chapter 1 God's plan since before creation of the world to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under Jesus. In chapter 2, he talks about our part in that, how we were dead in our sin, but now we've been made alive in Christ. He talks about how we've got new life in God's people, new life in God's family, new life in his church, and how Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. He's the head of the body, and his followers are united in life with him. In chapter 3, we read about how this is all part of God's eternal plan. His eternal plan to show his grace and his love freely to the world. It's pretty incredible stuff. And it's in this context that Paul says to the Ephesians, live a life worthy of that calling. And in fact, Paul then goes on in the second half of the book to spend a lot of time telling the Ephesians what that might look like, how that's going to affect every part of their life. He talks about how they're to put away lies and anger and stealing and laziness and bitterness and slander and malice and sexual impurity and greed and drunkenness. He talks about how husbands and wives ought to love each other. He talks about how children and parents ought to treat each other and how slaves and masters ought to serve each other. He talks about putting on the armor of God, fitting your heart with truth, with righteousness, with peace and faith and the Holy Spirit and prayer. And I realize I've kind of just summarized the whole book of Ephesians, but and it hardly does it justice, really. But what it all adds up to is that as Christians, all of life is to be lived for Jesus. All of life. Sometimes we think we can divide life up into sections. You know, like Barnaby Joyce, for example. Isn't he a great example of a guy who thought he could divide his life up into sections? He thought he could have a public life over here where he told everybody he was on about family values and things like that. And at the same time, have a private life going on over here where he was having an affair that's now ended his marriage. He tried to separate life into boxes, live one way over here and another way over here. And, you know, as often happens in those situations, it all caught up with him in this last couple of weeks. It's all come crashing down for Barnaby Joyce. We are called to live all of life for Jesus. It's all encompassing. So we can't live for Jesus over here and live for something else or someone else over here. Because we're called to be part of God's plan to bring all things together under Jesus, which has to mean all of life for us. And that means all day, every day. It means every thought and every moment, every word and every breath, everything we have, every fibre of our being, every ounce of our strength lived for Jesus. See what Paul is saying here? He's saying, live a life worthy of your calling. That means all sorts of things. It means when you're at school and everyone's having a go at that kid who doesn't fit in, you don't join them. Because you're living all for Jesus. When you're with your mates and they start making those ball and chain jokes, you speak up in honour of your wife. Because you're living all for Jesus. When you're with the mums at mums group and they start belittling their husbands, you make heard your appreciation for yours. Because you're living all for Jesus. When you sit down and do 2018's budget, your first question isn't, how can I save for a new car? How can I get my kids a good education? How can I have a sweet retirement? Your first question is, how can I use all my money for Jesus? When you've got a spare morning or a spare afternoon during the week, you work out if you can catch up with someone to read the Bible or teach a scripture class or contact some of our missionaries and let them know you're praying for them, because you're living a life worthy of Jesus. I could go on, and look, I don't want to understate just how staggering this one verse is, just how all-encompassing it is, just how it affects every tiniest detail of life. All of life lived for Jesus. Your job, your marriage, your spare time, your retirement, all of it, a life worthy of the gospel of the risen and glorious Lord Jesus. I mean, that is something you never want to stop thinking through, is it? Which is why week in, week out at church, we do things like have a Bible talk. It's why small groups are so important. It's why there's a Women to Women event coming up next week. It's so that we can think again and again about how we can more and more live that life. And if it seems a little bit impossible to wrap your minds around the extent of what Paul is saying here, then you're starting to get it. You're starting to get that Paul is saying there is nothing in your life, no part of your life off limits to Jesus. But if it seems impossible, well, there's some comfort here too. Because it's Jesus' agenda for his church that we help each other live out this new life. In fact, Jesus has actually taken steps to enable us, to equip us, and to prepare us to help each other to live this kind of life. And it's right there in verse 11. Take a look at verse 11. Verse 11 says that Christ himself gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. How great is that? See, we're called to live our whole life for Jesus, but we're not on our own in that. Jesus hasn't just said, off you go and do it. He's actually helped us. He's given his church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And what do those people do? They all speak the gospel, don't they? They're all about proclaiming the gospel. They're all about teaching the word of God. But I particularly want us to see why Jesus has done this. He's done it so that we are equipped for works of service. Maybe your translation of the Bible says works of ministry rather than works of service. Either one is okay because they mean the exact same thing. Ministry just means service. You see how Jesus has set up his church? He has set it up so that we all serve each other. He set it up so that we all do ministry. And when we all do ministry, take a look at what happens. Keep reading verse 12. Jesus says that he does this so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Mature, the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's just another way that Paul is describing this new life, the life lived worthy of our calling, the life lived all for Jesus. We help each other get there by all doing ministry. That's Jesus' agenda for church. So that we build each other up, that we strengthen each other's faith, that we help each other live life in every way for him. See, Jesus' picture of church is not at all like Netflix. I love Netflix. It is so easy and convenient. Anytime you want something to watch, you just turn it on. It's right there. The days of looking through the newspaper, trying to find your favorite TV program, they are over, folks. They are gone. You choose whatever you want to watch. It's there when you want it. Doesn't get in the way when you don't. It fits in with your schedule. It's so easy and convenient. So many people treat church like Netflix. They come along when it suits them. They come to be entertained. They come to feel good. They come to meet people, make friends. Or they come because it's something to do when there's nothing else on. They come to veg out. They come to watch, but they don't come to participate. And look, isn't that exactly the opposite of Jesus' agenda for his church? Jesus' agenda is not that there are spectators in church. He doesn't intend for just the pastors to do all the ministry while the rest of us sit around relaxing. He doesn't intend just some people, just the keen ones, to be doing ministry. He intends for all of us to be equipped to serve. And that's why the Bible very often, and you will have noticed that certainly does it in this part of Ephesians, calls the church a body. Because each part of the body works together. Each person in the body works together. Each person does the ministry they've been equipped for. So if you're not serving at night church, you're actually missing out on a really big opportunity. You're missing out on a great opportunity to be helping others live for Jesus. If you're not doing ministry at church, you're missing out. Now, doing ministry doesn't mean that we should all be planning to go off to Bible college, because things would be really boring for me here if we all did that. And it doesn't mean that we should all be looking to do MTS or something like that. It doesn't even mean that we all have to be on the night church roster. All those things are great, of course. But it doesn't mean that. What it does mean is that we should all be doing ministry. We should all be looking for ways to serve one another. We should all be looking for opportunities to help each other take the gospel life seriously. And we should be doing that deliberately. And we should be doing it servant-heartedly. What we're talking about is being intentional in helping others at church to live for Jesus. Now, that might be as simple as intentionally arriving at church 20 minutes early to just chat to someone about how they're going with Jesus. It might be as simple as sitting next to someone who you don't know at church, sitting next to someone who's new at church, just so that they can be comfortable here with us hearing about Jesus. There are so many ways to serve. Are you being intentional in serving? Jesus' agenda for night church is that you are. There's so many ways you can serve, but Paul, as he finishes this section, he really helpfully boils it down for us. He really helpfully summarizes ministry into one simple action. One simple thing that we do to help each other live for Jesus. And this one simple action should be our agenda here at BPC. And it's in verse 15. Have a look with me at verse 15. It says, "Speaking the truth in love will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." What a fantastic picture of church in just those couple of verses. But did you see the action there? Did you see that one thing that builds us up in our lives as Christians? The one thing that makes us mature followers of Jesus? Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. It's more than just saying true things in a loving way. Saying something that's true nicely is good. Like, it's nice to point out when someone's got something stuck in their teeth so that they can get rid of it. It's even nice to rebuke someone at church when they need it. But, you know, Paul is talking about things more significant than that. He's talking about much more than just that. Speaking the truth in love here, it results in maturity in Christ. It results in people who live lives worthy of their calling. What Paul's talking about is the truth of Jesus. Paul's talking about speaking gospel truth. And he's talking about speaking it with gospel love. Paul's talking about speaking God's word into the lives of others. This is a command for all God's people to specifically and intentionally serve one another by speaking the life-changing gospel of Jesus into each other's lives. It's as simple as that. That's ministry. Just stop for a moment and think of all the possible ways that could happen. It'll happen as you read the Bible with your small group. It's happening right now as a couple of us are over there teaching a Kids for Christ class. That is speaking the truth in love. It'll happen as you read the Bible one-to-one with someone during the week. It'll happen simply as you chat together about living life as a Christian in this world. It'll happen, it's been happening tonight as we've been singing songs together. It'll happen as we comfort each other and encourage each other to trust Jesus when we go through those hard times that we all go through. It'll happen as you pray with your husband or with your wife. It's going to happen later in the year at Orange Christian Women's Convention and at Base Camp Men's Convention. It'll happen as you reflect on this part of the Bible over supper after night church tonight. It is all those things, and it is so much more. There's really no limit but your imagination in coming up with ways that you can talk together about Jesus. Because in all of these things, we're just speaking gospel truth with gospel love. What we're doing is urging each other and encouraging each other. We are helping each other live lives that are all for Jesus. It's really not very complicated, is it? This is our agenda here at Night Church. We want to live lives that are all for Jesus. We want to persevere with that no matter what. No matter how much it hurts to throw off our old sinful selves and work hard to be Christ-like. We want to do that. We want to live lives that are worthy of the free gift of grace that we have been given. We want to live lives that are worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our agenda, to be people who live all of life, all for Jesus. Hope those words are kind of stuck in your head by now. This is the third week we've been going on about it. All for Jesus. God's plans for all the world and all of history, they all come together in Jesus. Remember that from a couple of weeks ago? And God's plan is that all people around the world get to hear about Jesus. You might remember that from last week. God's plan for those who have heard, God's plan for us, is that we live all of life, all for Jesus. How about we pray that that would happen? Father, thank you so much that in your grace, you've brought us into new life in Christ Jesus. Even though we were dead in our sin, even though we deserved none of it, you have brought us into new life in Christ Jesus. You have brought us into your church. Father, thank you for that. Father, thank you that in your cosmic plan for this world, you include us. Your plan for this world includes your love and your grace shown towards us, your mercy shown towards us. Father, in response to that, please help us to live all of life for Jesus and for his glory, for his gospel, and in obedience to him. Please help us to help each other to do the same. Father, may living for Jesus be something that we joyfully do together here at Night Church. Amen.